Grab your Bibles and open up to Exodus chapter 20. And Courtney, will you forgive me? Well, you're going to get another hug today then. Exodus 20, later we'll get to Ephesians chapter 4. And as we continue in this series in His image, I hope that we have seen that all these commandments are not just a harsh set of rules. They're actually a loving introduction to the character of God so that we can correctly carry His image and fulfill the purpose He's given to us. So here's the test. And the first four laws deal with honoring God. And the first commandment is, no other God. No other God. The second commandment is, no graven image. Why? Because we cannot create the image of God. Do not lower Him to a created being. The third commandment, somebody said it a minute ago, don't take His name in vain because it represents His person. First commandment is to keep the Sabbath holy. It's a picture of our rest in Jesus Christ. And then the next six commandments is how we carry His image, how we show love for others. The fifth commandment is what every parent loves, Father, the father, and the mother. And we saw that this is about us as parents teaching how to love God. The sixth commandment is, thou shalt not kill. It's the value of life because God is life. The seventh commandment is, no adultery. We're to be faithfully holy as God is holy. And today we arrive at the eighth commandment. The eighth general way of reflecting the image of God and to love our neighbors. In verse 15, Exodus 20, verse 15 says, thou shall not steal. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. We thank You for loving us. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for teaching us Your character and how to fulfill Your purpose for us. Lord, I ask You to give me the word to say, but more importantly, that we be sensitive to the work of Your Holy Spirit as we walk through Your scriptures. Lord, we thank You for this body that You make us a part of. But let us not be complacent and satisfied in just being here, but that we desire to let You work in our heart and transform us and conform us to Your image so that You can use us to bear the image of Your Son, Jesus. We love You, Lord. I thank You for Your presence here. In the name of Your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, we got to remember that stealing is not wrong because the Bible says so. We've said this with every commandment, haven't we? Stealing is not wrong because the Bible says so. Stealing is wrong because God is selflessly generous. Stealing is wrong because it does not reflect the character of God. If we're to honor God by reflecting His image, we too must be selfless and generous. You know, the antithesis or the counterpart or the opposite of God, Jesus calls a thief. We know Him as Satan or the devil, the dragon, the serpent. Many names for the evil one. But the first thing we're going to see is Satan is a taker. Satan is the thief. Satan is the one whose purpose is to take for himself and benefit himself. In John 10:10, Jesus says, the thief comes not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. He says, I am come that you might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. See, what Jesus does is He shows the drastic difference between Him and the devil. And if you pay attention to that verse, you'll see that one thinks of himself, takes advantage of others, destroys others. The other gives of himself, provides for others, and builds others. Being a thief will destroy you. When your desire and your purpose is to pursue more and more and more and to gain for yourself, it'll destroy you. And Paul said to the young pastor Timothy, chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many arrows." Money itself is not evil. Money is not a bad thing. The love of it is. The focus of it is. So often we prioritize making money and we'll lose focus of our families. We'll say we are providing, but the only provision we are given is financial, not spiritual, emotional, or physical. In making money, we forget God's call to assemble ourselves together. And sometimes we'll get to the point that we allow ourselves to do anything to gain just a little bit more. We'll even have other little terms instead of calling it stealing, right? We'll call it fringe benefits. When I worked at the hospital, that was a term everyone knew very well. I'll take a pair of scrubs home. They'll never miss this. They're big. They've got lots of money. We'll use words like pilfer or filch. I never knew that term until I started looking it up. Pinch, swipe, snitch, lift. Five-finger discounts. Some of the small situations. What about our taxes? Scripture says, enter into Caesar what is Caesar's. I'll tell you this, don't give more than you have to. You'd be a good steward of your money. But don't lie and cheat, because you carry the image of God upon you. Maybe we'll do stuff because they won't notice. They have plenty. Or we get the attitude of, I deserve this. The entitlement, we'll call it. Or maybe, well, it was their mistake, not mine. Ever happened at the cash register? Right? See, even with good purpose, stealing is punished. Listen to this verse in Proverbs 6:30. Listen carefully to this. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. We understand a man that steals because he's hungry. He doesn't have and he has need. But guess what? Even stealing then is punishable. Even then, stealing is wrong. What else is stealing? In Malachi 3, it tells us, and we're not going to get into that, all the tithes and offerings, but it tells us that when we don't give God what he has compelled us to give, what he has moved us to give, he says, you steal from God. Because all we have is his, and we're to use it according to his will. Remember, salvation, you're only a steward of everything that is his. We must search ourselves that we do everything to reflect the image of Christ, the image of a holy God, not that of the thief that is inward centered. Instead, we're to bear the image of who? A holy God. My throat's acting funny, so I'm going to make everybody thirsty now. That's so good. Best water I had since the last sip. We're to bear the image of God. And the second point we see is God's a giver. God's a giver. And we can go above that. He's a selfless giver. If you've been in Sunday school and we've been walking through Genesis, and we're in chapter 6 now, we've been going since August in there. Genesis is very important. It's a foundational truth. And we saw the creation of the entire universe by God as he spoke the universe into creation. The sun, the moons, the stars, the animals, the planets, the plants, the waters, the just, he created everything perfect and beautiful. And he created a perfect garden for a man and gave her that perfect woman. See, he gave man all he needed. Beauty, food, peace, a helpmeet. And he even gave fellowship where God would walk with them in the garden. God's a giver, isn't he? God provided everything those people that he created in his image could enjoy. And when man fell into sin and they fell for Satan's trap, they died. They died spiritually. And the beginning of physical death starts here. And God immediately upon the death, spiritual death, upon their sinfulness, he makes a promise. Anybody remember that? He makes a promise that he's going to send a Savior. As soon as those people sinned, he promised that he would give, even when they don't deserve it. Guess what? You don't deserve the gift of God. You don't deserve the grace of God. You're a sinful being. I said it many times, and I heard someone else saying it this week here in church. I don't want what I deserve because I deserve death and hell. I deserve separation from God from all eternity. What he gives to me is his grace. And we know that because of salvation, what has he done? We know in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he... You know, thank you for you three. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You see the generosity of God? He provided a Savior for those, according to Romans, who were his enemies. While you were still in your sins and your trespasses, he sent a Redeemer for you. See, God is a giver. You cannot earn his salvation. For Ephesians 2, 8-9 says, for by, what's that word? For by grace. What does that mean? Undeserved merit. It means you don't deserve it. For by his grace you're saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God didn't make us earn salvation. He gave it by grace. You ever give somebody a gift and they look at you and say, you didn't have to? What do you say? I know. Because if I had to, I wouldn't give it to you. I give it to you because I love you. That's the gift of God. Did he have to send Jesus for us? Did he have to redeem us? No. Do we deserve it? No. Have we earned it? No. But by his grace, because he wants to give a gift to us that we don't deserve, he says, all you're going to have to do is trust me on this. And once you trust me on this, it's yours. By his grace, he gives it. You can't earn it. He gives. And not only does he give, he sustains it. Because you know what? If he didn't sustain my salvation, I'd have lost it already. Anybody with me? You're a bunch of holy rollies. You know what? If you place your faith in Jesus Christ, and you had to hold on to yourself by being good, you lost it. First bad thought, remember? Jesus said, where does the sin start? In the heart, which goes to the mind. So it starts. The first bad word that comes out of your mouth, because remember, James says that one sin makes you guilty of all of them. But I'm thankful that my salvation isn't according to my works. It's not sustained because of my goodness. It's sustained by the blood of Jesus. It's sustained because he's more powerful than my sinfulness. The difference is if I'm truly saved and I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit, I no longer want to sin and I want to grow out of them. The problem is I'm still attached to this flesh and it keeps coming to me. And so he continues to tell me to grow. Now understand, this great gift that God gave to us, is it selfless? Imagine the suffering you went through. Listen here in Philippians 2, 5, and 8. Let this mind be in you. Well, we're going to come back to that part. Let this mind be in you. Oh, great. We'd like to talk about salvation, but not the expectation. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, means he was God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in likeness of man. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. Think about this. God's gift was not easy. The creator of the universe had to put flesh on. First, humiliating act. To put creation on. Because you and I couldn't handle seeing him who he is. Then he humbled himself to follow the plan where he would be hated, beat up, and killed. He'd be sacrificed in your place. And the most excruciating death that they knew of, the cross. See, our God selflessly gave to all who will place faith in him. But at salvation, it doesn't end right there. God continues as a give, doesn't he? Ephesians 1:3 says, in whom ye also trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So not only did he pay for our sins, man, that's a big gift. But then he gifts us with the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised was coming. The Holy Spirit, which Jesus called the Comforter. He's our guide. He's our strength. He brings conviction so that we can grow. He brings comfort to know the arms of God are there around us. He brings us, he teaches us. Understand this, that when you're studying in Sunday school or in service, and there's something new comes to you, that you learn something new from God's Word, let me just make it clear, I didn't teach it. The Spirit of God made your heart understand it. He allowed me to deliver it, but because it's God's Spirit that come upon you so you could understand His Word. That's why He's given you His Spirit. The Spirit of God is your teacher. And He'll apply it to your life. He'll bring the conviction and the comfort. So he gives you salvation. He gives you the Spirit, but he gives more. In John 1:12, I think this is an incredible part. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even of them that believe on his name. Ephesians 2:19, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So he saves you. He gives you his Holy Spirit. And he brings you into his family. Is our God a generous God? If you're a child of God, you've been saved by grace. You're literally a son or a daughter of him because the blood of Christ is upon you. That's why we as God's family come together, the church, as his body, to learn together, to pray together, to remember what Christ has done, to encourage one another, to build one another. That's why we are to meet regularly, so much so as we see the day approaching. Is that enough? Oh, no. God continues to give. In John 14, 2-3, what Jesus tell his followers? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you can be also. Wow. Jesus' gift is a loving gift. He says, if it wasn't already ready for you, I'd make sure to make one for you. If it hadn't already been prepared, I'd be going there right now to prepare it for you. That should make you feel special. Not special, but special. As beloved, right? That should make you know that you are wanted, you are loved. Because he'll prepare a place for you. And he says, I promise I'm going to take you where I am. As his family, we have the promise of being in his glory for all eternity. Now we could go continue with God's blessings in our lives. We could talk about our families and our spouses. Yes, our spouses and our spouses. Amen. Husbands, amen. We could talk about our children, our homes, our jobs, and stuff. We can go on and on. Because why? James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. If it's good and it helps you know God better and walk with Him closer, draw nigh to Him, it's of God. But if it distracts you from God, it doesn't cause you to pursue His purpose, it's not from Him because it's not good. Do we deserve any of these gifts? God has given us one thing after another, after another, after another. God is blessed because He's generous. Do we deserve these gifts? No. I deserve death and hell. Ultimately, the lake of fire. That's what I deserve. But you know what? He sends me rescue. He sends me His gift. What did God tell us? Remember the description of Jesus' humility and sacrifice in Philippians we read about? He put on flesh, obeyed the plan all the way to the cross. That one verse that we read that's so nagging. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Remember how generous we talked about God being? All the gifts that He sacrificially gave. He says His grace is so much that it pours on the wicked or the evil and the good. That's how generous He is. And then He calls us to have this mind, which was in Christ Jesus. So the third and last point is a Christ-like life. Christ really raises the standard for us at salvation, doesn't He? This is why He gave us the Holy Spirit, because alone we cannot attain the standard. We need the Holy Spirit to teach us, to give us strength. Well, quite honestly, without the Holy Spirit, we don't care about the standard. We are familiar with God's greatest command that He calls us to. And God's greatest command is given in the Old Testament and New Testament, and it's twofold. What is the greatest command? Yes, love God. Love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul. Love the Lord thy God with all. And He says if you do that, you will also love thy neighbor. You're going to love others. That's tough. That's our call as believers. If we're carrying the image of God, we'll love our neighbors. We'll love the one right next to you. Love that neighbor. That person in town that, my flesh don't like. I'm going to love them. Why? Because Jesus died for me. His enemy, the one in sin. What does it mean to love or love others? It's to care for them, to help them, to build them, to encourage, to strengthen, to give to them. That's why we have the Great Commissioning. We're supposed to give the greatest possession we ever received, the knowledge of Christ, knowledge of the Word of God. But understand, stealing is the using somebody for your own gain. It's an unloving act. Stealing is the opposite of our calling to carry God's image. Stealing is reflecting who Jesus called a thief, the devil himself. Because we think of great big thefts. Not the little stuff. The stuff that goes uncounted or unthought of. But in Ephesians 4, at salvation, turn with me to Ephesians 4. It's only for one verse, but it's important, I believe. At salvation, God slowly changes us. Romans 12:2 tells us that we'll be transformed by the renewing of our minds. As we know Him better, He can change us. And we're given a description of a new life in Christ. And this one verse kind of shows us the complete change around in a person's life after salvation. In Ephesians 4, look at verse 28. Let him that stole, steal no more. Okay, we could stop there, right? If you're a believer, don't steal. Okay. No, he's not there enough. He continues. But rather let him labor, working with his hands at the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Is this a turnaround? Is this a complete change in life? Is this a 180 from seeking for myself to seeking how I can help others? Some of you are very generous people, and you know the blessing of being able to help somebody. And you don't need kudos. You don't need the pat on the back. It's a reflection of God. You let Him receive the glory and be used. But see, before salvation, our lives were about ourselves, either gaining for ourselves and getting whatever we can. Or, we talked about it some in Sunday school, doing good so that I feel good about it. Or doing good so others can see it. Understand, the scripture tells us, Jesus speaks for himself, that when you do it for the applause of man, you lose the reward from God. He goes, you should go to the extreme of not letting your right hand know what your left hand doeth. He's just painting a picture of us. Listen, you do it for the Lord and His applause only. That's the generosity we need to have, is not so people know that I'm generous, but the outpouring of the work of God in my life. He says, if you know your old man would take for himself, your new man is going to work to find ways to bless others. It's tough. See, after salvation, God said, stop with the old man. Now reflect me. Work hard that he may have to give to him that needeth. Now, I will reiterate, him that needeth. Sometimes in America, we don't know what needeth means. I needeth a new cell phone. I needeth another car. When the Bible talks about the poor, it's talking about the destitute. It's not talking about somebody, well, I don't have as many cars as him. My garage isn't as big. It's not what it's talking about. Okay. Now we should want to help people. And we want to help them learn to help themselves. What does Thessalonians say? Man that does not work should not eat. You may have noticed I like to eat. Any amens? Charlie, you're too skinny to say amen. Oh. And today you're not getting lunch, so don't worry about it. You see, now we should want to bear God's image and have the mind of Christ and look how we help others in need. Now we can go beyond the destitute, but we're required as believers to help those who are at that point. We should all do all we can to point to Jesus, to make Him known. And how can we make Him be seen and known? One of the ways we love others is being a generous giver. Stealing isn't wrong because the Bible says so. The Bible calls stealing sin because God is selflessly generous. And what we want to do is that God use us to touch lives. And giving isn't always about money. We were called to give the gospel. We're called to introduce Jesus. We're called to shine for Him, to encourage, to serve. Let us see how we can help others instead of taking for ourselves. Would you stand with me? As we close today, as we focus on this selflessly generous thought, we always have to focus and remember the generosity of God. That His grace is so deep that we can't understand it. His grace is so good we have stuff bless our lives daily that we forget all about or goes unnoticed. You know what? I got up today, turned on my kitchen sink, and water came out. I don't even think about that anymore. Until I go to Brazil and the city has shut off the water. Especially if you're in the middle of your shower and you're all soaked up, right? Mm-hmm. You see, we are blessed and we don't even notice. Why? Because God has a deep, amazing grace. We were going to do the words up there, but guess what? I was supposed to be back there, and I didn't know until today. So grab your hymnals. What number is it? And open up to number 85. Sorry about that. That's why the confusion this morning. I messed up our praise team just a little bit. And we're going to read and sing the first three verses together.